found us. What about this idea?
Gotta listen to this show. Why?
Because it's about the hearts and minds of entrepreneurs. Oh,
nailed it.
I didn't even look at the
nailed
wall.
Nailed it.
I didn't even look at
all
the
right,
wall.
All right, listen. Honestly, this is a show. It's different than other shows about entrepreneurship.
It's real. It's real. Real stories.
Is it?
We tend to talk very real.
I love
and
it.
So do our guests. So come have fun with us. Have we started?
We just started. I started recording.
It's all a big surprise.
I was recording video before here. Well, hold on 1 second. Let's do this.
No worries, our captive audience.
Ooh, what about this idea?
We have not said anything important yet.
No.
Nor will we probably say anything important.
Of course we will. It's all important.
Maybe Kelsey will. Hopefully.
She's full of wisdom.
She'll stand us up.
Yep.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to our show.
Yep. What about this idea?
What about this idea?
I know I said it's with no enthusiasm.
You That's did. Terrible. You said it very tonally flat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about this idea?
Yeah. What about this idea?
I'm fighting being a little bit tired, I can admit it, but I'm really okay. I'm okay. And then we'll have our glass of wine during the second half. And then not that we're advocating the use of alcoholic beverages to bring your podcasting skills to a higher level. I'm just saying a little wine. Sometimes it's nice, you know. So anyway, hi, Kelsey.
Hi.
Hi, Kelsey.
Hi.
We're so happy to have you here. We are. So I'm wondering, what you doing here?
Yeah, I think
that's. I love starting them off that way. So yeah. You start.
You start.
Well, I want to talk about my ideas.
What about your ideas?
There is a reason I asked you to be on this show. There's a lot of reasons, right? I admire what you do. I think that it's all very cool. I think you've got your finger on the pulse of a different part of Minneapolis that I don't really, you know well. And I like that I get let into that world a little bit. But you are clearly an entrepreneur, but then when I asked you about business, you kind of say like, but I don't really know what I'm doing most of the time, sort of what you say. But yeah. I look at it and I'm like, you clearly must because you're running a business. And so we're going to talk about all that.
Yeah, I have an entrepreneurial spirit. I have a lot of ideas. I think there's like people who are visionaries and then there are people who are actualizers. And both of those two types of people can be entrepreneurs, you know.
Getting a definition here. I like it. Yeah.
You know, some entrepreneurs are visionaries and then they have their executors and then some people are the executors and that's also entrepreneurial.
Yep. Yep.
And what are you?
I feel like maybe this is a cop out, but I feel like I have a little bit of both because I've had to because I'm like, I can't hand these things off because they're just like so in my mind sometimes.
You know, especially as a creative. I mean, you're offering people your creativity in a physical form, right? So
yeah.
It's hard to hand that. Well, you could probably hand the bookkeeping off, maybe.
I do.
Yeah.
That is like the one thing.
Yeah, good for you. I wish I had learned that way early on just to let someone else do it.
Always.
Because I'm not
idea.
Great at it, you know. But yeah, when you mix creative into entrepreneurial, like I would say not every entrepreneur has to be creative, but I think a lot of them don't think of themselves as creatives, but they are actually more creative than they realize. But
yeah, because solving problems is a creative task.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is very creative. I mean, unless you're just picking from the solution A through B or C, right, then it's a creative solution.
But I think, you know, a lot of them wouldn't describe themselves as creative, right? Like, or would they? I don't know.
I think, I don't know, Kelsey, would you describe yourself probably as creative?
Yeah, I would say that I'm like very scrappy. That's like my number one adjective, which is a form of, that's problem solving, you know, as a creative practice.
And it's grit.
Well, and you actually physically, you create things for people. I'm just saying.
Well, I'm just thinking, you brought it up, right? So you either go into business because you want your business visionary. You have this vision for a business that also requires some kind of skill usually, or you come into it with that skill and then you're like, oh, wait, I kind of have to be visionary as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we're done here.
Okay, we solved it. I also feel like I feel like
thanks for joining us again. We really appreciate
We're really moving these meetings along.
What about this idea? 2024.
Kelsey, tell us more how you got here. There's a lot of creatives who can't be business people, you know, and can't think about margin or, you know, I'm an empathetic visionary for sure, where it's I'm always thinking about like what the other person wants as opposed to being creative.
Who's the other person in that though?
And a client, you know, or someone that you're trying to serve.
Yeah, I mean, I'm that way too. I think I'm like creating on behalf of a client because I feel like I didn't have the privilege of being able to create for the sake of creation. It's like your creative practice has to be functional or serve like multiple purposes. And so the main one is like it generates an income. And so that's like always creating on behalf of the client.
Yes.
What?
And that's the end again.
I don't know why I'm speaking in platitudes.
Yeah, but you're pretty darn good at giving an answer to the question, you know? Like it's.
But there's a lot of creatives who don't think like that, right? Like even though they think they're running a business, they're more thinking about just being creative, right? And it's like, oh, I'll get to those receipts like in July or something like that, yeah. You know, or I'll do a little marketing.
Or who cares what the client wants?
I want to do this for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you were like dead on. You're like, yeah, I can't be as creative as I want to be because I have to think of the client first and that's it. Like, damn it. It's a really good answer.
It's a really good answer.
It's the truth. So you sell packets of your creativity baked into a package that they need and wanted, right?
Totally.
Do you ever run into situations where the client is like, whoa, you really screwed this one up. I did not want it like this. Or do you do a good job of like sketching it all out and modeling it for them first so you don't really run into that? Or
I would say in most instances, they can expect to be like within 20%. So in the contract, it's like, this will be like within 20%. The final rendering is going to be like within 20% of what the actual product is, which is still a huge amount of variability.
That's a lot of, yeah.
But I really think like, I love to like put my renderings side by side with the final product and just be like, so
like, that's it. I nailed
yeah.
it.
It's
like 0.05 yeah. different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I dare you to say it's not the same.
Dare you.
Yeah, but then I also like to like give myself the time and space, like with this install that I'm working on the past 2 days, I like to give myself the time and space to address the conditions when I arrive there too. Like I'm working on this job site right now where the elevations were different than how it was actually built, which is unfathomable.
Right.
And, you know, and then there's just like a certain amount of using your brain on site or like kind of skewing from mathematical symmetry into visual symmetry or thinking actually critically about things once we're on site. So it's like I'm trying not to ever phone in any part of the process. It's not like, oh, here's my rendering. I scale it up to 100% and then I install it as that is. I'm like thinking about, okay, well, this is great, but because people are always going to be approaching from the left, let's like skew it 6 inches to the right.
Right. So you have to be able to adapt to
yeah.
the actual situation.
And just like think critically, yeah, at every stage.
Yeah, it's not just a plug and play then. You're not just running a recipe, although I'm sure you have some systems. Okay, so you must have been creative as you realized, I'm creative, right? Like
yeah.
I like to be creative, but what got you into being creative? Okay, I'm creative. I can think about things. I can solve problems too. I think I'll make a sign company. And not only that, I'm going to make a sign company that it puts a stake in the ground about quality and artistic approach, which I just made up.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like you know me well that I'm just going to like totally refute that. I'm like, quality, stake in the ground. But
tell her she's wrong.
I feel like one thing is that I have parents who are business owners and like not super lucrative business owners, but I think it just normalized the uncertainty and the confidence in your own concepts that you kind of have to have to survive as an entrepreneur, especially like early career. Totally. You know, like I really was around my parents when they were starting their business, and I was like in high school, and the stakes were really high. Like, you know, like thinking really critically about what it would mean to make our monthly mortgage on the house where we lived and stuff like that. So I think my parents normalized me to like the amount of risk that I had to assume to like make this work. And then also because my parents were like in that situation, I just feel like I didn't have really a safety net. It's not like, oh, this deep well of entrepreneurial funding, you know, my parents. So, you know, it's like I really didn't have that well to draw from. So it also just made me very, really have to succeed or else go get a job, which would also be totally okay.
Would you feel okay in a job? Like, would that work for you?
I think so. I feel like I am the type of person that whatever I'm doing, I'm bringing creativity to it. And okay. So it really wasn't about working for myself, for me, at least at the start. It was just about identifying, you know, kind of a void and the type of services that were being offered and filling that, because it wasn't being filled by any existing organizations that I was aware of. Or I just can't, you know, I think, and especially, and the same thing happens now as I move through the city of Minneapolis or wherever I'm working, I see the same consistent voids, you know, and so I'm like, oh, okay, so what if we develop this idea to fill this void?
What about this idea?
And we're done.
I know. Show's over again. That's funny to hear you say that you would fit into a job, though. That's fine. It's just like I personally don't. Like I never, every time I've tried that, it kind of doesn't work out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as a result of not feeling like I fit in the workplace somewhere, I've started my own things because you have to earn a living. And so and a long time ago, I realized like I was just creating a job for myself. And that was actually really tough. I probably would have been better off just doing the job for someone else and letting them give me benefits and take care of the other shit. But now I'm into like sort of understanding that businesses can be scalable and stuff like that. Do you think about that with your sign stuff at all? Or is it more or less you're kind of happy to be a small business owner and this is kind of the job you created for yourself?
I think right now, and it's been like, you know, 3 months since we last talked, and I've been, you know, really thinking critically about the direction that I want to move forward. Right now I'm in a position of like, let's scale this for sure.
Really?
I think I vacillate.
Are you crediting me with planting that seed?
No. I feel like so many parts of our conversation were really influential. And I think that's like another part of, you know, back to your question about how did you arrive at this point? I think one of the reasons why I've arrived at this point is literally just people dropping these like breadcrumbs. And I'm like, oh, you know, and I've had a lot of those really good. I'm like, this is sourdough. Thank you.
This is my favorite.
Yeah.
It helps that there's a bread store next door. I wasn't trying to take credit for it. I was just curious if that was because I wasn't setting out to do anything but it's funny when you talk to people how little seeds can get planted and then they come back later and they're like, there's almost an expectation that you meant for something to happen. And you're like, oh shit, I don't even remember talking about that.
Yeah.
You
know, right. Like, I put that out there. Damn it. I got to pay more closer attention because all these things are coming to me.
Yeah.
You know, I find that the more I am not corporate material, right. And mostly because I don't like authority or rules or, you know, other people's systems.
My problem too.
But here's the thing about that. All of that muscle that I built around being an entrepreneur is the opposite to the muscle that is needed to be successful in a corporate environment, because I have to make sure that I'm breaking barriers. I have to make sure that I'm not just adopting other people's systems, that I'm creating my own systems, and that, you know, that I'm not just doing what someone has told me to do.
And you're saying that the corporate world just wants that out of you.
Well, it's hard because when you're hired into a corporate environment, you've got that one job, that one thing. You're supposed to solve that problem in this position. And I think you do that in a job, but you do it so differently as an entrepreneur. You do it, you can be more creative and free and innovative about how you solve things. You can create your own systems. And truly, if you don't do that stuff, you don't innovate, right? And you don't solve those problems in a new way than your competition.
Yeah.
So I find the more I work the muscle of being a successful entrepreneur and being super authentic and being relationship based and all the things that I value, the harder it is. And I get little tastes of it by volunteering for like nonprofits, you know? Okay. I know nonprofits can be messy, right? And everyone that's a volunteer is hard, but it's like, oh, okay. So I know we did that last year, but do we really have to do that this year? And most people coming from a corporate environment are like, well, why would we redo it all? this worked last year, right?
So the nonprofits, like, I got a little confused. No, I'm just saying the number.
Here we go. What? Here we go. We have not had a glass of wine yet or beer.
No, and I'm here and I heard it. But like in that example, you're going to the nonprofit to volunteer and are you saying like, oh, they're just sort of spinning their wheels?
Yeah. And she's like disrupting the systems. If she's confronting or asking. Yeah. Yeah.
I keep wanting to bring in my little entrepreneurial hat and say, let's do this a different way. And they're like, are you kidding? Yeah, I spent 4 hours on that Gantt chart.
We are doing the Memorial 5K.
There is no reason to get innovative here. And they're right.
That's what I thought. I just needed to make sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. So, you know,
that's why they don't like people like us.
They don't. And, you know, I find that a lot because I do bring in new people to companies. And oftentimes I really love the entrepreneur possibility, especially in technology, because if you've been an entrepreneur in technology, you have had to wear all the hats, you've had to suffer through all these things. And if you're looking for now to be part of a bigger system, to be part of a bigger, whatever, software company, whatever it is, people are very reluctant to hire an entrepreneur because they're afraid they won't be able to, you won't conform to their values or their culture. You know, you're not coachable.
Yeah.
Right.
Their culture is so inefficient though.
Yeah. Because it is, right?
But there's so many broke entrepreneurs out there in the world.
I know.
Too.
Right?
Like they don't all make it, you know, we don't all succeed and stuff. You know?
And the agencies are always doing layoffs as well. So it's like there's no certainty on either side.
That's right.
I like it. Yeah, because but for most people, it does seem like the more certain thing is going for the job.
Right? I feel like the pandemic really taught us otherwise.
Shook things up.
Yeah, I think for me, in my limited time in the workforce, you know, but I did my time in the design equivalent of corporate, which is like ad agency world, or I would consider that quite corporate.
Yeah, sounds like it.
You know, I think I did that, but I do just feel like, you know, everyone lost everything during the pandemic and, you know, everyone was just like really open and honest about feeling how you said like they didn't fit into these systems. And it was just like a real confrontation of why we do things the way we do things. Mm-hmm. And I think because everyone was so on the internet, it was a lot of like sharing like hive mind around the shared experiences. And then just like, we're all working from home anyway. So it's like, well, I'm not going to do this for Best Buy at my house. I'm going to do this for, you know, my little
tech
startup.
Yeah. Or I'm not going into your office anymore. Right. And you know, that was a forced change, a forced culture change that made everything different. Yep. Right. So it was forced and so now corporations are thinking, well, I guess we don't have to do it that same way because we survived for 2 years.
But they're only thinking that because they have to.
Yeah.
They
have to.
Yeah.
They're forced to. So, I just feel like that. Two things. I wish more people would recognize and value that muscle that is built as being an entrepreneur if you want to go back into that corporate environment, because being an entrepreneur is just as important. It's just as important to have people.
But will they hire you?
It's some companies do, some don't.
It would be, I mean, that's a good thing to put out there. Every now and again you hear someone put out something like, okay, if you're hiring 20 people for this position, make sure you hire two of them that are not even of that world, not, you know, don't have a background in it, don't have the education in it, because you need some spice in there. You know, you need something that's different. Do they actually do that, though? Like, if I applied for, you know, astrophysicist, would I get that job? Because they're I don't know if that's
It really depends, right? It really depends on the value
of
the company.
You you work for them.
I do. And it really depends on how closely aligned to their values they are. So we'll work with companies that say, we have this diversity, but we don't have that diversity. We want that diversity. And then I'll say, okay, I'm going to make sure I bring that diversity to you, and I'm going to hold back what I shouldn't say this necessarily to my clients, right? But I hold back people who would more obviously fit, but you want diversity. So get your head around how this feels and fits. And then because if you don't have diversity now, it means it's not usually present in what you have done. So you're not used to actually working in a diverse environment, right? You're not, you have to.
You think you want it.
You think you want it, but
and then you bring
understand.
In Steve and Sally and you're like.
And there's more conflict in meetings and it takes longer to make a decision, right? Because there's more input.
They're challenging.
Then it turns out you don't really value diversity because you can't handle the difference, right? So,
That makes sense.
There's oftentimes a difference between what people want and what they need, right?
Totally. And how they regard themselves versus how they actually are.
Yes.
As an organization or as a person.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not learning.
My clients are perfect in every way.
They're like, welcome to our fast-paced and exciting work environment. And then you're like, the work environment?
I have seen a shift in companies, and honestly, I'm very lucky to be able to say I'm not going to work with that company because their values do not align with their actions, and I have done that. So I'm very lucky to be able to do that. But I have seen a real shift on embracing values, and just from that, the younger generation, you know, like me, is.
That's straight up sarcasm.
That's totally sarcasm. What are you talking
Kelsey's
about?
Kelsey's
like, that's an old lady. I don't know.
No, she was so politely just accepting. Like, yeah, you're
yeah,
the younger.
Yeah,
she was like, yeah.
Anyway, younger. Yeah.
She's like, not going to say anything. Just polite.
Power of suggestion.
I actually think we're all maybe millennials here.
Oh, that's
Are you
cute.
So the same age as our friend Forrest?
Forrest? I'm one. I'm struggling.
I think we're all. I think we might all be of the same generation here.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I'm Gen for sure.
Yeah, okay. I'm Gen X.
Okay, so that's one above millennial.
Correct. Okay. I believe that's correct. Mm-hmm. I'm 49.
Okay.
So,
I'm 39.
Yes.
Plus.
Perpetually.
Yeah. And we're grading on a curve, so I'm 16. Do they accept library cards as a form of ID here?
We don't need IDs here.
I think we got it.
International airspace in here.
I'm going to say maybe like the second or third stupidest thing I've said today at this point. Why not? Because now we're getting, I feel like I'm loosening up a little bit. Anyway, there are a lot of companies out there in the world. Like the vast majority of jobs are held in all of these companies.
Yes.
You know? It's sort of mind-boggling though, because in a certain way, because there's like, a bazillion different options for getting a job with an already existent company, whether they're good or bad or stable or not stable. There it is. Just go take that. And then there's us. And we're like, yeah, but what about this idea? And I'm going to start my own company. And then we run off and do all sorts of weird stuff. And we do, you know, but it feels when you're in that mindset, it feels like there's so many people like me out there.
Yeah.
And then when you realize, like, it, someday you look at it and you're like, no, there really aren't there, very many
there
people.
Aren't that many people like
doing
me.
This. No.
Yeah. Do you find that, Kelsey? I mean, do you find that your approach to your work? I mean, we ended it at how impressed I was with your answer about that, right? Like, yeah, I'm a creative, but I'm here to make it right for that person.
It's a very good answer.
Yeah, I'm a creative, but I'm here. And that's a form of creativity, yeah. Right? Even the math at the end is another form of creativity.
You're being creative all the time, but you it would almost spell certain disaster or failure if you failed to recognize that. If your creativity what overpowered your understanding of needing to give someone a product that they're happy with, that would spell disaster.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, or I think too, like it would spell at least uncertainty.
Yeah.
So this is like a certainty. Like I'm using my creativity to create something that is always in need. And for me, the pandemic was very affirming because I really went into it like, you know, is there going to be new economic development? Is there going to be work in my industry? And it was so affirming to my own adaptability or whatever, ability to adapt to the literal horrors, you know? And it just taught me so much. I felt very affirmed.
I sat in my garage, drank whiskey, not all day, but and sewed.
Sewed
masks because they had run out of them at the hospital and like cried for humanity. That's what I did during the pandemic. It was awful. It was really awful.
But you managed to stay busy and that's the entrepreneur. It's like there was no idle moment.
Oh, yeah.
But there was no idle moment for you.
No.
Like so you were like, okay, I'm going to pivot. I'm sewing masks.
Yeah, I wasn't doing it for
I'm
money,
being a
really.
Consumer of liquor.
Just keeping the economy going.
Just keeping the economy going.
Just trying to do my part.
Just spending my stimulus check as instructed.
Well, what else were we supposed to do? It was so weird. And the kids were depressed and they weren't in school. And the whole world looked like it was any. Now it's all, we're out of it kind of the other side. I think we're obviously still seeing the aftermath of it in certain ways. But like always happens, that change was the kick in the butt that we needed to do certain things. And that's kind of what you're saying, right?
And what you're saying, it really disrupted. And I think also during that time, a new generation of workers came into the, you know, it's like people graduated from college during that time and came into that environment. And they were like, you know, in the way that the youth is so entitled and whatever. And they were just like,
This simply won't do for me.
No, but they're all living in the high rises downtown here. And drinking super expensive coffee and visiting the Itasca Wine and Spirits.
Oh, a little shout out our little partner here, Jason, over at Itasca Wine and Spirits.
Yep.
In that space.
No, it's funny. I don't know. I feel like the kids are doing all right, you know, like, but
I
yes,
agree. I think it's hard to learn from someone younger than you and not be resentful.
Yeah.
You enjoy your little, you know, lofted apartment. What is that like?
Yeah.
Fine. Be that way with your studio apartment that you're happy with.
Isn't that a part of, do you remember the movie Fight Club? Isn't that sort of a part of the thing whichever character beats up the other one because he just didn't want the pretty young guy who did everything better than him around anyway. So we had to beat him up, you know? Yeah. I look at the kids and I feel that same sort of thing sometimes.
Yeah.
I hear you. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm I love this. So I have two kids, 26 and 21, and I'm super refreshed about their point of view on life.
I know.
I
think that's what she's
and
saying.
And I get
though.
It. I know.
I'm overly refreshed. I'm so refreshed.
I'm just trying to take
pissed.
A positive spin.
I'm overly refreshed.
I'm sick of refreshing myself on your goodness. Like,
I am. I think they're hard. I think they're hard workers. They have to be inspired, but they're hard workers. And how do we not? I have to be inspired.
I've met both those kids and they are nice people.
They're good people. I don't know what happened there, Sam.
I know. How did that happen?
It's like, oops, I did well.
Yeah.
So what do you do for marketing? I'm curious. Do you network or do you do podcasts or?
Yeah, I think I definitely.
Do you throw yourself on shows every now and then?
Absolutely. Yeah. I love to talk about what I do and it like this is one format, but I like literally had a conversation with someone on the street today and often that happens. And I think like when you work in a visual medium, it's marketing for itself a lot of the times. But then I also feel like I feel like I'm so much of like a historian or archivist. Like I really want to document and share the process and kind of like think about it in terms of like demystifying it for women in the trades and certainly like not gatekeeping any of the techniques that I'm using, any of the vendors that right. I am, you know, collaborating with. Like I don't feel I feel like really compelled not to do those behaviors, even if I'm like going against my natural tendency to want to be like, figure it out yourself. I did, you know, God knows I did.
So
I think like the marketing part for me comes really, really naturally to me because I'm social and I'm really excited about what I'm doing, you know?
I mean, can you imagine yourself like 6 months from now or 3 years from now, someone says, oh man, I have some sign needs. Like, can you imagine yourself not saying, oh my gosh, I've got the greatest person. Like
I could not imagine picking anyone else that I know. Honestly, God, I've never seen your work.
Yeah, you haven't even seen the work.
I haven't even seen your work, but I know you. Now. Right.
I have. And you know, like I think there's a lot of people out there that you've touched in that way with like your passion for what it is you do. And I think that's marketing, or like the best marketing you can get.
Yeah. So. But going back to the whole thing about like, oh, you could see yourself working for someone else. It's like, I would literally be excited about whatever I chose. And that's just kind of like a personality thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was really, really excited when I was making $36,000 a year working at an agency. That felt really good. And I was really excited. And
then
inspired.
You realize it's not really going to pay the bills out too long, is it? Kind of?
That was adequate for me at the time, for sure. So that was me at like 21 in the 2000s or whatever, the 10s. So that was me at 21 in the 10s. That was really adequate. And not paying income tax. Shout out to the state of Texas.
Oh yeah.
So
you can live
that,
cheaper in
that
Texas.
Felt okay. But I think there's an upward, one of the things about being an artist and an entrepreneur is that in the world of working for someone else, I would say that even I've assumed a lot of risk and debt, but I know now that I'm making more than I would if I would have stayed in that role. And it felt like there was, like, I think about other people who are in the senior version of my position. And I know that maybe now I'm making more money than them because there's no upper limit on what you can make when you work for yourself. And that's me saying that aspirationally as someone who believes very strongly in my own ability to make a living. It's like, I just didn't want to cap myself at $36,000 a year or whatever. Maybe I would have, you know, risen to like $65,000 a year and that would have felt really great, you know? And also I think those numbers are hard because, you know, when people are listening to this in 100 years, they'll be like, oh my God.
I have another thing that we can talk about 100 years.
Cycles, it's not about those specific numbers, but it is about like there's, you know, limitations.
Well, and it can't be about the numbers because $65,000 a year is, or 35 even, is a decent wage in Texas. You come up here, it's different. Like you have to make a little more up in this area. But
well, I want to hear, because you guys know each other, right? I don't know. So I want to hear what you say about your work, right? The thing you said, I like to talk about the way I work. Tell me more about that. I haven't heard it.
Can we get it on the second half?
Yeah, are we here already?
Yeah, we're definitely, we're a little over.
When are we going to talk about my idea?
Right after the second half is just
so much.
It's just my
different.
Idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can talk about your idea the whole time. Plus answer that question, which was a good question.
Probably work. Everybody's here and listening going, what is Kelsey? Does she make signs? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's more to it.
Yeah.
And it is an interesting thing. Exactly. Okay. You said something about 100 years. And when you were talking about the 2010s and teens and stuff, I wonder if every 100 years, like most of the society is like in the 20s, when you're into the 20s again, they're like, thank God we're not in that period of time that we can't quite name correctly. Because do you think every 100 years they're like, what do we call those again? Because we all know you call it the aughts, right?
Yeah.
On the first part. But what do you call it?
I didn't know that. You didn't? I was suffering to figure out what to call
it. Well, that's the first 10 years of the new century.
Yeah, I was calling that the 2000s.
Oh, well, that works. Yeah, that works too.
We call that the 2000s.
And then what? But what do you do with the tens and teens?
2010s.
It's
the tens are the aughts.
No, the aughts.
The aughts are the zeros. Yeah. Are the aughts the zeros? Yeah.
Yes, yes, the aughts. And now we're tens? Super confused. I don't know.
No one ever calls the tens anything. But I'm really concerned because now we're in the 20s, and I can specifically recall the 20s already have a very strong brand identity.
They do.
Should we be in flapper gear right now?
Definitely, we should.
Yeah, from 100 years ago.
From 100 years ago.
Oh, for sure.
Definitely.
And then the tail end of
laser
it was,
guns
was and absolute chaos, mad chaos in the late 20s.
Well, I would say we are not without chaos.
I'm saying, does it seem like that could yes. be? There could be.
We're literally living the roaring 20s.
Yes.
The return to booze-fueled garage evenings.
And podcasts, yeah. Yes. Yeah. And disruption of everything it's and true. The whole thing's.
Back to the radio.
Woo!
We're back to the
oh
radio.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That indulgence.
That is crazy.
Look at this. All right.
Indulgence.
Let's go indulge.
Okay, we're going to indulge.
Okay.
And we're going to take a break.
We're going to take a break. I see the red lights off on my camera, so it's been recording. I can see myself on here, but I think this is a malfunctioning camera.
Well, mine is too then, because mine doesn't have a red light.
Nor does yours?
No, mine has a red light.
Oh, never mind. It's functioning perfectly.
Because we at least have Kelsey.
No, it's because we're the picture in picture. Uh-huh. Interesting podcast, isn't it? When I talk about the
you're
lights
like,
on the cameras.
Turn to the camera, right.
Everyone needs to hear
okay,
that
you'll
shit.
Have to
right
go
after
to the YouTube
break
channel
from our sponsor. For
ooh, good show. All right, break.
Bye. Here you are.
Oh,
you've
shit.
Made it to the middle of the show. Buckle up, because oh, the man. Second half is going to be even.
It's different. It's very always different. Different. It's, things the little train goes off the rails or whatever. The whole
does.
Bus.
It usually does. By the second half, we're relaxed.
It's coming.
Here it comes.
Yeah, I talk too much. Middle. See ya.
Bye.
Have fun.
And we're back. Hello.
Back to the newsroom.
McFly. Let's announce we're back. We're back.
We are back. I even put up the graphics.
We have
Kelsey's name up there for a moment.
Good for you.
Yeah.
We have a bottle of Il Mostro, which is a, what did we say this
It's like
was?
A sparkling orange wine.
Yeah. It has the original sulfates in it. Those of you watching us on YouTube, I am showing you the bottle. Yeah. Compliments, although I did put it on a tab. Who knows?
You can't, yeah.
Compliments of Itasca Wine and...
Spirits. Yep. Sam. Go visit Sam. He's really, really good with wine. So, there you go.
Not you, Sam.
No, different Sam.
Definitely
it's confusing,
not you,
but yeah, he's different. He's definitely not me. It's cooler. All right. So what were we doing?
What?
I think we were going to talk about my ideas.
Oh, yeah.
We're definitely yeah. going to talk about your
There was
ideas.
A question that was asked at the very end, and we put it on hold. And then we decided during the break that we weren't going to really answer that question, right? No, or we were going to answer that question. It was a different question we weren't going to ask.
She has some question, ideas. So,
But the question you asked was good.
Yeah.
What do you do? So like people who are watching or listening, like you can just give us the quick breakdown of what is it you actually do?
Yeah. So I run a sign shop, and because of my background, it kind of also operates as a design agency. Hmm. So it's like a very traditional sign shop. We're very into, you know, moving through the design process, you know, being very site specific, and kind of bringing that, you know, agency level design to kind of the world of signage, which for a lot of small businesses and even bigger companies can often be an afterthought.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm just running right now a woman-led sign shop. We're really rooted in old school traditional approaches. And then I also have this element of me that's very into like the tech and forward thinking component. So all the time we're working in hand painted, which is like the most outdated, like, you know,
least techie. Right?
Yes. Like laborious process. And then other times we're like, oh, let's plug it into the laser. Pew, pew. So it's kind of like a, trying to bridge that gap.
Right. So almost coming from that quality of hand developed, right? So coming from that quality of artistic creativity and strokes and all those things, but also incorporating the new tech.
Yeah. Who made that big laser machine in your basement?
Oh,
what company is that?
Boss Laser.
That's
like one of the biggest and most recent purchases for my company. And
it's a cool looking machine.
Yeah, it's a huge flatbed laser. It can actually engrave or cut on a curve as well too. So even though it's a flatbed, full pass through, it's really wonderful. Ooh. And I was really into using that company because it is it's the only American as of today.
Yeah.
So a lot of them are fabricated overseas, and that's totally okay. But for me to have this business, like one of my resolutions a few years ago was to think critically about, you know, and especially when everything was trapped on shipping containers during the pandemic.
People
were waiting for laser parts and blah, blah, blah. And even I waited a really long time for my laser to come. But I think I wanted to work with an American company because I want people to understand about, you know, I'm working in this hyper localized way. So I need to do that as much as possible. So it's the only American company that's as local as I could get.
I love that. It's like tracing your food, right?
Yeah.
Sourcing your materials.
Totally.
Bringing the local materials to the local clients.
Being conscious of all that.
Do you have an office here in Minneapolis?
Yeah. So I have a sign shop, and it is on Lake Street. And that's also where I work out of. We do fabrication in the basement, and then we meet with clients upstairs.
Nice.
The reason I asked about the laser was because them being an American company, there's like, hopefully we can connect with someone on LinkedIn or something and suggest to them that they do, like when you push the button and you start making it and it starts doing it, that it goes pew, 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 pew. Yeah. It would be so cute if the little machine was like, well, it was a big machine too, but if it just started saying pew, 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 yeah. We're shooting your lasers.
I'm always like, I'm always taking my work very seriously. And at the end of the day, I'm like, oh yeah, stickers and lasers.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty like,
lasers are pretty sophisticated.
Future tech thing, you know, like you're way out there in modern land. I like it. That's good. And yeah, and the other side of it, and one of the parts that I respect about, you know, some of the stuff you do is I love the fact that you do have the laser and you can do all the new stuff and you got the little form bender thing that you showed me. And but you can also sit there and just paint a sign like for hours and do all this detailed hand lettering stuff. I think that's really cool. So.
Yeah, I always like to do that. And I think that it's not about pushing what I like to do on the client. So it's really about choosing the best approach for the client. So having a broad spectrum of offerings allows me to work with a lot of different types of people versus only working with the type of businesses who one specific medium is the right fit for.
Totally.
Which is just a design decision.
Right.
It's just a choice.
Yeah. I remember how we met now. We both worked on a project. I did this crazy high-end handmade tile installation in it's on a yacht, a boat.
Ah.
And it was the kind of installation where you really can't just find anyone out there to do that. Like no one else wants to do that one. And it was expensive tile, and it's going to be wasn't it in the New York Times or something?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then I'm out there working on the tile, and she showed up to do this like delicate hand painting in the bathroom because they didn't want to, boats are funny because they're expensive to do anything on. So they don't want to remove the old wallpaper, but they wanted it to look nice. And they got Kelsey out there, and I'm like, that's super cool.
That is super cool.
Yeah.
That is super cool. I want that boat.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got to have some gold leaf gilding on a boat as well of that age, because it was like quite an old boat with like the little like brass dials and all that.
But very well maintained. Yeah. You know, fixed up nice. It's a cool project.
I've got a boat we can work on.
Let's go work on the boat.
Let's go do it.
Yeah. I'm in.
SS Fox.
Anyway, I remember now, that's how we met. And then I'm like, I can't help myself. I'm an advocate for these hand painted signs.
Yeah.
Books. Like, I just love it. I think it's
But
so
I also
cool.
pursued you. Like then, you know, you said what you said on the boat. We worked together alongside for like 2 days.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I also pursued you, because even what you said on the boat in passing is like something that I was like, valid. And then, you know, yeah, when we've met, you know, several times since, mm-hmm. there's just always been like, I'm gaining a lot. And I've also like just like pursued the relationship with you. And I think part of being an entrepreneur is pursuing those relationships and kind of shaping it that way for me.
It's yeah. true, because a lot of people, and this happens, like we went today to the Center for Lost Objects, which the name of that shop, I just love that
what?
You made it.
Incredible.
Yeah, the Center for Lost Objects is in St. Paul, and it's Amy Buchanan. And we didn't have time to, like, reconnect or whatever, but I interviewed her 5 years ago on Legacy Matters or something. And then across the street is the White Squirrel Bar, and that's Jarrett Ullman's bar. And I'm like, I interviewed him years ago. So
gorgeous hand-painted signs at the White Squirrel.
There you go. And I think if you, so like even shows like this, you get the people on, everybody at the end of it is like, oh my gosh, this was so great. I loved the conversation. You never know who's going to listen and who isn't and stuff. But then if you're entrepreneurial about it, yes, you do find a way to maintain those relationships, to chase the people that you really made a connection with and stay with that.
Yeah. So. And it's about authenticity too. It's like, you know, people have such a problem with networking. Did we even get to your ideas yet? Mm. No.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay. I'm ready. I'm ready.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah. We can do that. Yeah, sorry.
Let's do it. You know, people that...
I want to hear this hot take about networking, though.
Yeah, so networking can... Either you love it or you hate it.
I hate the word.
There's not a lot of people, I think, that see it in a different way. I feel like we need to be calling it something
different.
It's
relationship building.
It's just relationship building. Yeah, and if you go into it... you know, there's a book called The Go-Giver. And if you go into networking, thinking about what I can give you, like, oh my gosh, you know, Kelsey does these signs. We need a sign. Like, how can I advocate for you? The more I learn about you, the more I advocate for you. And then all of a sudden, you think about the same thing, right? But I'm not mm-hmm. doing it for you to think about it. I have to know that relationship building feeds all of my desires in unexpected ways. So people go into it like, oh, I got to network.
That's the way they made it feel in college and stuff. They were like, you need to network. And what it sounded like to me was, you need to go out there and be mm-hmm. inauthentic and pretend like you like people. That's what it sounded like. But now I can say about both of you, what I've realized over the last many years is the true networking is getting to know these people at some deeper level, not expecting that you've got your new friend that you're going to have forever or you're going to spend all your time with them, because we already have a lot of friends and stuff, but understanding that the next time you see them, like, you do have a genuine connection and you do have a genuine relationship and that's enough of a friendship to be actually very meaningful. Because you're both thinking about each other. You're telling
people
about
the
work.
The same boat.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, you're both.
That's
you're,
a metaphor.
Yeah.
We were
that's
both
a,
in the
that's
same
a tie
boat.
Back.
Oh, nice job. Way to go. We were both on the same boat.
You're both on the sea. You're both on. Everyone who's networking is, you know, there's always, I'm an extrovert, right? So I don't mind walking up to a group of people and just sort of introducing myself or finding a connection. Usually it has to do with shoes or a bag. Hey, nice shoes.
Oh, did you say that the right way too? Not the Minnesotan way that I can't figure out the difference
between. Bag.
Yeah, I can't figure out the difference. Everyone's like, you say it bag. And I'm like, no, I say bag. And they're like, no, you say bag. And I'm like, yeah, no, it's the same damn thing. I don't understand it. I can't
There's
hear it.
There's a new Arnold Schwarzenegger commercial.
Right? Is there?
Yeah, he's... It, It's something for insurance company, and he's saying.
We're about to find out how good of an ad this is.
Yeah. I know, because now we'll get Arnold Schwarzenegger as a sponsor, or are we going to, we need a shout out to Arnold.
I'm not going to even name the company because, you know, they're not a sponsor.
Yeah.
But he would say the word like neighbor.
Oh, right. Neighbor. Right. In his way.
And they're like, it's neighbor. And he's like, yeah, that's what I said. Neighbor.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Neighbor. Well, now we all know which insurance company, but yeah.
They can write in one.
And we'll add it in.
Neighbor.
I'm not worried about mentioning companies. I think it's funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
Anyway, okay. So yep, networking, bad branding. Maybe we should do.
So the idea is unhinged. Are we ready for the idea?
Yeah, I want the idea.
I feel like I'm ready. I ran a few by you, and
I want to hear.
And this is different.
Okay.
but a lot of my ideas. Yeah. Had gas stations in them.
Okay.
And this one does too.
So you have a like a thematic idea generator in your brain somewhere, and it sees a gas station and it's like 50 different purposes mm-hmm. for gas station.
Absolutely.
It's like a large language model spitting out like tell me 50 different things I could do with a gas station. Yeah, let's hear it.
But it all ties back to signage, because I feel like for me growing up, like specifically in Route 66, you know, you see all of those iconic signages along the historic highways. And a lot of them are gas stations. A lot of them are also hotels. So it's like those are the iconic signs of that era.
That makes perfect sense.
And Wall Drug.
Yeah, they had some signs.
Yeah. So much good signage. But this is the idea.
Yeah.
So I have always wanted to own a gas station, and I think right now we're at a place where the way that people engage with gas stations is totally needing to change, because more and more people are driving electric cars.
Yeah.
So you're going to spend longer at a gas station while you're charging your car, even if you're doing this that like Tesla supercharge. And that Tesla supercharge is always in the parking lot of like an outlet mall or like a Target, and
so that you can spend time in there buying stuff.
Yeah.
A grocery store.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to have like a very like beautifully branded gas station where people can buy gas station food. So I will have, you know, that like level of income, you know, where your point of sale is like $5 to $10, you know, but it's elevated. So instead of maybe buying like Trolley Sour Bright gummy worms, you're buying like dried mangoes that are like in like a matte package. So it's like kind of elevated snacks.
Okay.
At this gas station, because you're lingering for
no
longer.
No Cheetos?
No. Or like we might have like baked corn puffs, organic. comma $7.99.
comma real cheese. Comma.
Yeah. Yeah. So those
Cheetos are delicious.
I know.
True.
Those type of offerings. So that, because I think like gas station food also is like so good. But for me, someone who also spends a lot of time on the road.
Right.
Makes you feel super shitty.
It's terrible.
It's like a once in a in a while thing.
Yeah.
So beautifully branded snacks, kind of that old 1950s automotive feel. So like roll up garage door type of style. Not lots of natural lighting, so you can come inside while your car is charging and kind of linger. Maybe like work on your laptop. Obviously, there's Wi-Fi
and coffee
and maybe coffee. Maybe and it's you know the gas station attendant is still going to be who they're going to be. They're in their polo, whatever. They don't care about this job. But that's an archetype that we need in society. But
like, I hate it. Here.
I'm like, I'm changing everything except
all day long.
He's like in a red Circle K polo, changing everything except that. But
and sometimes they actually love their job.
It's true. I've run into there's some in my neighborhood.
Checking the cameras.
Yeah. No, it's true. There's some who are like very, very happy to have that job, and they love it.
Yeah,
they do a great job at it. Anyway, I'm loving this so far. So this is, and I got to say, you're breaking a mold here.
Oh no!
I do believe that you are the first guest that we've had that actually like is outlining an idea of theirs that doesn't exist. I think this is a first for us. So yeah,
it ties back to the sign shop. So because you know. Those old, think about the architecture of those old fashioned gas stations too. So you have the roll up garage doors because you might pull in to get service like you would in the old days. So we would have that kind of architecture, like probably purchasing an existing building.
Yeah.
And then I can use that as my sign shop. So I'm like in the back operating my sign.
So the garage bay is like where they used to do work on the cars is your shop. Yeah.
Man. And people can look in. So they, it's like when you go to a certain type of restaurant and you're just sitting there drinking your wine and having conversation with your family. But like a part of the experience is also like watching them make the pizzas while you're like sitting at the counter. Yeah. So it's like me and like, you know, my staff will be there operating a fully functional sign shop, but we're also making a passive income, charging you to charge your car and selling you gentrified snacks.
Gentrified snacks.
Gentrified.
I don't know
that word.
It's
with having to do with a snack.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
But it's like, we know.
I thought elevated was pretty good.
I won't name
good.
Any of the brands, but we know the brands.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's inappropriate of me to throw any sort of my design sense on it, but I'm seeing like powder blue and then that light cream or whatever, like that used to be cool in the 50s or something.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm talking about? Like a luminescent floor. Oh, you know, those rocks you put in and then they become luminescent the more you walk on them.
Oh, is this?
I'm sure they're completely poisonous. Well,
I feel like
to
this is like a 70s thing. I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think like referencing some of those things in a way that isn't super overt, because I think sometimes when you get into that 1950s branding, it's like, yeah, see the good old days. And it's like, oh, was it, you know, everything about it? Should we just go back to that? You know, but kind of referencing that.
No. Yeah. It's. Okay, so at its core, the other part of it we're not gonna say whether this is a good idea.
Fine
or
if
not,
you cut this idea work. From the podcast.
No,
why I love this that? Idea. No, I'm already thinking bed and breakfast in the back, and
I like
you
it
know,
because it,
bonfire yeah. to relax.
Little U-shaped
by.
Courtyard, like yes, in the old days.
Exactly.
And for me, it's I don't think it's hearkening back to. I don't think you're trying to like. Bring back the old days because you're nostalgic for the 50s or something. But I'll tell you, there is a part of it that I love, which is that sounds like slowing things down and taking time to be in a community a little while and like getting to know people.
And
versus
thinking about what you're putting in your body, your food.
Versus
right?
our current state where it's like, you know, you're getting run over by someone in the big truck in the parking lot because they're like, I just need my gas. I'm getting the hell out of here. You know, like that's what we've become. This sounds to me like if I were to get my, oh, man, and there'd be guys rolling by in their dually diesels blowing smoke out the back at you because they're all mad that you're sitting in the nice shop, the gentrified.
Are you going to have gasoline
shop?
As well?
I think it depends on the timeline of this project, but I am like so aware that this is like right now the most recent car that I bought, which was maybe like 2 or 3 years ago. I really felt like, okay, this is like my last gasoline powered car. This is like going to be my Mad Max vehicle.
A lot of the youth is feeling that way.
And I think I was ready to make the leap. Like I've been seeing some of these, you know, and especially for tradespeople, because that's the big difference is like a sedan that's electric. Okay, that's great for everyone.
Cool.
For people in the trades, making the transition to electric vehicle is like a little bit different. But I've been seeing these electric vans and blah, 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 and seeing their capabilities. And I'm ready and I totally understand. I'm like, self-drive me to work, you know, put me on my little, you know, home charger battery. Like, I want to be a part of that world.
Yeah.
Agreed.
But I think it kind of depends on the timeline in terms of gasoline. I'm not opposed because... I mean, obviously, there's huge environmental harm.
I think it would be cool. Well, there's. I mean, it's not like
too.
Electric is environmentally unharmful. But because
yeah,
I mean,
we just don't know yet.
The more we use, the more coal we have to back up with. I mean, there's not a lot of good ways of making electricity.
And the battery elements, they're like fracking them from the bottom of the ocean.
In the interest of like advancing some sort of truth ish stuff, not that you're wrong, but I think the science is pretty clear on like an electric vehicle and a gas vehicle on day one are pretty much the electric vehicle is more carbon more, you know, bad. The after about 6 months or a year, the electric one starts to blow it away, even when you consider all the ways that electricity is produced. But and we have to get to the point where we make much, much cleaner electricity and stuff. But without...
And that we actually think critically about our supply chain while we're producing these vehicles for people, because it's like we're still using the same problematic systems to create the new product because we're more interested in selling a new product than solving the base problem.
Yeah.
Yes. Feels. And the oil
still energy use is still battery.
And the oil industry isn't necessarily like the evil giant. They're trying to figure out how to get to the next thing. It's just
whatever
it's such
happened
a massive
to fuel
thing.
Cells. Aren't we supposed to be running our cars on water? Come on, kids.
Hydrogen. And
come on, kids.
No, I mean, we do,
ideas.
We do take yeah. rainbows and sunshine.
Come on, fuel cells.
No, I mean, I think, you know, generally we take these views that like this one's going to fix it and that one's bad and this one's good and whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, but no, I like the idea without worrying about the politics around it all. I like the idea of sitting in your store while my car's charging.
I
and
love
I'm like,
this.
I know. And it's just like, because gas stations have, you're right, they are super iconic. And I even remember as a kid, it was kind of a cool thing to go into the gas station and just sort of hang out with the old people for a while. And mm-hmm. it's still that way a little bit in the South. Like okay. it's more of a hub.
Yeah.
And in Minnesota, it's like, get in, get your shit and get out of here. You know,
unless
like,
there's gas station chicken there.
Oh, is there good chicken at gas stations?
Gas station chicken, gas station pizzas are known extremely well in Iowa.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes.
In Iowa.
But gas station chicken is a thing.
Yeah.
It is a total thing.
Do you grew up south-ish? Like, did they have the wet peas in the thing, whatever the hot peas in, you know what I'm talking about?
Hot peas.
Yeah, they have like, peanuts. Sorry, not peas, but peanuts. I've just never been bold enough to try them. I'm like, I really want to try the peanuts, and I usually try everything.
Yeah, I'm going to get food poisoning, but let's have two of these gas station burritos, please.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like, oddly enough, I've looked at the hot, like, in-sauce peanuts, and I'm like, I just don't know how to even do it.
I don't even know what you're talking about,
you don't?
To be honest, but what grosses me out the most
we'll pull up a graph.
About gas stations is the rolling hot dogs.
Oh,
and all you can do is smell hot dogs. They're just like
the hot dog roller. It's awesome.
Yeah, the glizzy roller.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it is?
You know what? They could be vegan sausages right yeah. there on
okay,
the roller.
And that would be better?
And because I do think that the glizzy roller is a big part of the gas station.
Is that what is it? Is that glizzy roller? It's roller. Yeah.
No.
Roller.
It is for us, yes.
Like, yeah. Roller. Yeah.
What's the glizzy part? What's glizzy mean?
I think that's like slang for gas station hot dogs.
Are glizzies?
Yeah, gas station hot dogs are glizzies.
Oh, man. I love me a glizzy.
Yeah.
You know what I like more is a
I never liked
Mexican,
them, but I am
Mexican
into
street
the
hot dog.
It's like it's just kind of like I'm into the culture of hosting people in that way for like,
so
you know, 3 to 7 minutes.
I love
dress
it
up how you want it. But it's kind of like an Instagrammable experience at this.
That's the part
space.
That I really liked. I mean, I like the idea.
No one's taking a picture of that shiny little pink dog at Circle K.
Right.
On the roller.
I mean,
pink dog.
I might.
The pink dog and no, the glizzy roller.
The glizzy roller. See, that's the thing. I know my lane. And so I try not to say things like glizzy roller.
It sounds wrong
way.
When I say it
no,
too.
No, you like, pulled it off beautifully.
I think it all should look like a regular gas station, but everything is healthy. Like vegan sausages or even
I would
sausages
love that.
From the farm down the road,
I
right?
See, this is why you bring
idea.
Your idea. No,
think,
this is why you bring your ideas to people. But I wasn't thinking about that I would have a way to adopt the glizzy rolla, which is a huge part of the gas station.
Exactly.
Now that's collaboration.
And the slushy, look at what we could do with the slushy.
It's kombucha.
It's kombucha.
I'd be like.
And they're like.
Spit it out.
You know, popcorn.
I'm not your tongue still yeah. turns blue. Don't worry.
Popcorn, that's a fairly healthy thing if you do it right.
Yeah.
But
I know I'm with you. I'm 100% with
there
you.
There are levels to this, but I think it's all about anticipating the needs in the future. And okay, I feel like I'm a little too young to know on this, but I was wondering, did people used to be this excited about internet cafes? Because I think it could be that.
Oh, they did. Like, they were.
Would go, was it exciting?
I don't know. I'm
to
too young. I'm only 39. Yeah. Yeah. So, Sam?
I'm just a little baby, but I was wondering, did people get really excited to go sit at the internet cafe? Because yes. I think this would be like that. This is an internet cafe, I mean, for charging your car in a different era.
It would totally be like that.
Yeah.
It would totally be like that.
That's
yeah, absolutely.
Idea.
I mean,
you know, you could even do weird stuff, like do AI headshots or something.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean?
You
like,
want.
Do weird stuff. Like, instead of a photo booth, you do AI headshots while you're there. You have a photo booth.
There's a robot that dresses your glizzy for you.
Oh, my God.
With whatever, you know.
I'm loving this. Can we have a little wine shop in there with some natural wine?
So I love that the gas stations, I don't know, not everywhere you go, but I love the gas stations that serve alcohol. And, yeah, I think doing that.
Where do they do that?
Oh.
In the South, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I know. There's like drive up liquor stores.
Our
and stuff.
Culture.
Like, yeah. Minnesota is
I'm
like.
I'm building on this.
No.
I think, but yeah, I love
distillery.
The gas stations that serve alcohol. And I think just doing it in a certain way. So there's one gas station that I saw on my travels that is called Gas and Grass. And it's a gas station and a dispensary in Colorado.
Yes.
And it's not designed that you could linger, which is just so interesting because in the future you could charge, get your little vape on, and then go on your way after 4 hours safely.
Safely. Yeah. You're only
after
riders.
It's worn off. Yeah, you're not advocating.
Yeah.
And anyway,
sell like beautiful
matter.
Atlases. I have, I really want to expound on this with
I
you.
Love
I feel like
this.
You see the vision.
I'm with
and
you.
And I
want to
know
vision.
Like what different people's like, you know, experience of an in-town gas station is versus a gas station on the road. We got to do some market research. It's
I'm 100%
it's a lot
into
of glizzes that have to be consumed during the development of this.
I think we need to do a little documentary on this.
I think what we just did
field
is,
trip.
This is a truly entrepreneurial podcast.
This is it.
Like, this
we are
going to
build
this. Is what happens. Yeah, because...
This is my Shark Tank.
I love the... I mean, bringing an idea in here and vetting it on in front of us and doing this, I love it. I mean, it's... And I happen to like the idea.
Is it entrepreneurial? Is it innovative?
It's
more than entrepreneurial. A lot of people will say, I want to open a gas station. I used to know people who had convenience stores and gas stations up north. What was the name of that
and
one?
And along the North Shore is literally the Route 66 of Minnesota.
I love the North Shore. And then up in northern
the
Wisconsin.
Happy Hooker is the name of the... Bait shop.
Okay.
Incredible.
Yeah. Why not? Why
love.
Not?
Incredible.
Love.
Wisconsin is notorious for making little names out of things. You know, like have you noticed that? It, like Madison especially, every shop's got some pun. The name is a pun, you know, like the Happy Hooker.
I mean, maybe I'm just like attuned to it.
Yeah.
Like
no, it's very, very common over there. Anyway.
I mean, maybe it's also like alliteration is like the highest form of humor. So I definitely have to figure out my, you know, for the station.
Yes. Yep. Well, I think it's a very cute, very, I like it.
It's more than cute. It's
no, I think it's a, I
th- it could be a revolution. I mean, the new quick trips of the Tesla charge.
The slow trip. I mean, it's different. You know, you're going to go sit there and hang out. And get a different
It'll
experience.
Be a destination because you know how like electric cars have to like figure out where they're going to fill up. It's not like on the road and things.
Yeah. And they have to stay there well.
It'll
so you
be
have
a
the
destination.
Captive
you have a little movie theater maybe or something. How long does it take to charge your car?
It doesn't. It really
30-ish
doesn't,
minutes.
Yeah. But that costs a lot of money. So if you do the slow charge, it costs less. So I have never had an electric vehicle. And also during the pandemic, when gas was going crazy, I rented one, a Tesla, and I think I was like, I'm going to save so much money and by having this electric car because gas is going crazy right now. Gas was like $6 a gallon on the West Coast at this time.
Yep.
And yeah, it actually costs like quite a lot of money
to
fill up your electric vehicle, and especially if you want to supercharge. And I didn't understand that, and it wasn't something that people like talked about.
Unless, and I mean, even if you do it at home, the cost whatever.
And we don't have the infrastructure for people to do it at home on the level that we are like trying to operate right now. Like the grid would be like even just when people started working from home, the grid was so depleted because it just wasn't prepared for that type of human behavior. So I think we don't know all of what's going to happen.
Every one of us sitting there on our devices and hanging out and doing stuff.
You know? Yeah. And it's like, I might be judging it wrong. They might actually be working on making it more expedient, and then this idea would be totally outdated. So I don't know exactly. It's like I'm kind of trying to hit a moving target, but it's always something that I wanted to do, and I'll adopt the idea around that. So if it is more of a brief experience, we drop the movie theater. But if it is like a long, you know,
I mean,
extended
stay.
How
serious Kelsey is about that? I mean, this is
a good idea.
But
this is not like, this is, you just entered into like a planning meeting for a new business.
I'm like,
this
is not like, I'm in on this business. Yeah.
Okay, I'll stop. But I think
no, you don't have
it
to
really
stop.
Is like, you know, the idea that I brought you around the content creation around the gas station snacks.
Yeah.
On whenever that was, like Friday. It's like I think about, you know, we all have those certain areas of inspiration that we constantly draw from. And I hope that people can see that it's like the same way that I'm drawing inspiration from the iconic behavior of a gas station encounter. It's like that same experience inspired the sign shop, inspired these other things. And we'll continue. It's like I'm keeping drawing from the same well of inspiration.
Yep. And this is what about this idea? I mean, that's the that's the show. And
that's exactly right.
Yeah. And it's true. It's just the way it works. And I think, you know, if we're trying to impart some sort of lesson to people who might watch this, like I hope they find some parts of it humorous. I hope they get something out of it. But if we're trying to impart some lesson, like when you have an idea like that, I can tell in the way that you told that you've been, that's been percolating for a while. You've kind of been sitting on it and tweaking it in your mind. And you'll probably continue to do that. Mm-hmm. And maybe that idea will never happen. Mm-hmm. You know, we all know that about the ideas that we have. They're not all so precious that we have to have every one of them come true. But if you're the entrepreneurial thinker in the room, you're still thinking about it 2 years from now. And you're like, and then because you've been putting it out into the universe so long, you drive by like Steve's gas station that went out of business that was 50 years old and it's got the right shape. It's got like a rounded corner or something. And you're like, fuck that. That's my station.
That's it.
And then you're like, all the things are in place. I got this. I'm doing it.
Yes.
And that's the way entrepreneurs tend to think. Like,
yeah.
Whereas the non-entrepreneurial tend to look at and there's nothing wrong with being non-entrepreneurial, but they look at you and they're like, you're still fucking thinking about that thing? Like, I can't help myself.
It almost seems like the reaction, the crazy reaction to an idea, it really solidifies that as a really good idea.
The more someone says, like, I don't like that idea.
Ooh, that's awesome. They don't think that'll work. I think that'll work. It's like FedEx.
Didn't
the dude that wrote FedEx, it was a paper in college. And the teacher said that'll never work and gave him like an F or whatever, bad grade on the paper. And he went ahead and did it anyway because it was a crazy idea. There's no way to get things there in 24 hours.
The only group of people that I would trust with a new idea are other entrepreneurs. And they can tell you like, no, I don't think that one's a great one. And then you might listen to that. The rest of the people who just don't want to do things like that, don't think in that way. When they say no, it charges me. I'm like, for sure, it's a good idea. Now, thanks for that.
Yeah.
Like, you fixed it in my head. I'm ready to go. Yeah.
Yeah, I used to feel that way with, like, in my personal practice with my artwork. I'm like, good that it's not palatable to the masses.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's not for you anyway.
Yeah, it'll hit at my retrospective in 100 years.
Right.
My posthumous retrospective. Like they're going to get it in the future.
Everyone thought Picasso was crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're all a little crazy. And that's okay. I like it. All right, you two. We did it.
We did it?
Yeah, I mean, we tried to end it 14 minutes in, 16 minutes in, because you dropped like the big things and you did it so succinctly. It was like, well, shit.
Now what do we talk about?
Yeah, you ruined the show by being so smart. And then, but then we redeemed it by getting into just ideas and stuff, so.
I'm super impressed. I'm excited to.
You a Kelsey fan now?
Yeah. Like, how many signs do I need?
I know. We're going to fill this place up. I mean, I can already see it. Divine Fox Productions.
That's like, right.
You know, like, why would we not have some cool signs?
You know, we should do a what about this idea sign and the eyes move and follow you.
Oh, a little AI in it or something, a little camera that sees it. So like it's the creepy style, but it follows you.
Your LED diffuser is in it.
Totally.
The eyes I like move. It. We need a sharp sign, like one, like a weathered looking sharp sign company sign up here too, so that people know. So we can say, oh, yeah, that's the person you go to for signage.
So I think start looking at signs now and you'll see that a lot of them, these old weathered ones on these types of historic brick buildings are signed by the sign maker, which is a really cool thing.
Yep.
That is a very cool
thing. It's so sweet when you get to see it.
Yeah.
It's an original piece of art.
You'll start seeing signs now because of this.
Signs.
Yeah.
Signs everywhere. Signs.
Everywhere. That's pretty old of us there. Oh! But 39, you were just catching that as a kid in the car, in the station wagon. I get it. All right. All right, you two. I don't know. It works for me.
This worked really well for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I lived it. I thought it was fine. So thanks for tuning in. Anything else? You want to say anything else about, like, you need to promote sharp signs? That they'll find you. If they're interested, they'll find you.
Yeah, and I think it's a very small sign shop, and so it's like I can't accommodate every single inquiry, but I do think that there are ways for folks to engage with me, and that's like the entrepreneurial thing is having, you know, ways for people to connect that aren't like, you know, just creating a bottleneck in the organization, which is like a lot of people are working corporate jobs. They don't need a sign, but I think that it's really important for me to engage with those types of people too. So I hope that they do find me, even if they never buy a sign. I can only make like, you know, 40 signs a year, but I can sell you endless charges to your electric vehicle.
gas station.
At the electric gas station.
Full of healthy food.
I love it.
And natural wine.
Way to bring it back. All right. All right. We did it.
All right. We did it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye. Don't cry. It's over.
Oh, you did it. You made it to the very end of the show. You know what you can do to help us? What can they do to help us? They can tell their friends how awesome this show is.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
You know what else? And I don't know if people know this or don't know this, but like if you found us and you see us on socials somewhere, just hit repost or share it with your community.
Share, repost, follow. Isn't there a follow option?
Yeah, of some follow, kind? Subscribe. We're not going to charge you anything.
No.
Just hit the subscribe button.
No. It's we just need you. To create a community around entrepreneurism and how the real shit happens.
I like it. Well, because we're real. You said it in the intro.
Real, real, real.
We talk real. No, seriously, tell your friends. What a great show. Oh my gosh, these people are doing the best work ever. Yeah, right?
That's what you should say.
Yeah.
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 And just come back. Have fun with us. We love this.
We'll have someone, we'll interview someone cool next week too.
Someone completely different.
Yeah, from prison. Thanks.
You always have to have that.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.